the worthwhile things, not just physical things, but the things that are worth having are on the other side of the discomfort. You know, everything that you don't have that you want is on the other side of the discomfort, because otherwise you'd already have it. Welcome to the Rising Tribe. I'm Jared.
And I'm Austin.
And our goal is to inspire young men to build strong families and discover their potential as men, husbands, and fathers.
And we'll do this by having authentic conversations about faith, family, health, and business as we strive to level up our lives and the lives around us. Welcome to our September episode, everybody. I had a blast filming our last recording with you, Jared. I have really loved using this as a way to stay accountable to the goals that we've been setting. And dude, we've got some cool stuff coming up on our, like, we're talking the other day and I'm like, dude, can you believe that we just booked a hotel and got a rental car and have tickets to a race in Greece?
Yeah.
Which I think I've talked about too. Tyler and I both fell off the burpee train. Mm-hmm. And then I saw how many burpees you did, 180 in under 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to get back on the burpee train because you're going to dust me. Like that is like insane. But so going to be training really, really hard for that race so that we, you know, finish with a solid time and have fun running it.
Dude, I'm so stoked. Like we got our discount codes. We signed up for the race and now it's like real. You know, and I can tell you today, I did not do my burpees in under 14 minutes, not even kind of close. It's crazy. You do the same thing every day. And some days, dude, you're like cooking. And other days I'm like heaving. I'm like, holy cow. And I don't know how much of it is like the air, I'm in a different country right now. And so like, I don't know how much of it that is and how much of it is just like some days I'm with it and some days I'm not with it. But when I'm with it, dude, we move. What was that?
That's your body. Yeah.
Dude, I feel it's crazy. Like I could not do this before we started, but like you go down for the push up and I can like, while my hands are still on the ground, I can like jump up and put my feet like close to my hands before my hands come up off the ground. Like in that, like it means like my hamstrings and my lower back are more flexible than they used to be. And that was, dude, I wasn't even close 6 months ago. Like I was like, dude, my hands and like when my feet would come up, dude, my hands are like, they're freaking like a foot and a half away from my feet. And now like my feet come up close to where my hands are when we go down for the burpees. So yeah, like, a lot more flexible. Dude, my shoulders definitely like I don't know the names of these muscles, but like the where your shoulders like, yeah, where they connect to your pecs, like that upper side, dude. Definitely some improvement there. But more than anything, it's been a mental game. Like I don't know how much of like the physical, benefits of this are compared to like just the fact that I'm lifting all the time anyway. So like, I can't separate the results from just the burpees versus like all the other weightlifting and running and stuff that I've been doing. But, it is not something I look forward to every day for sure, but we do it every day. And, it's been powerful. And dude, it's crazy that it'll be, I think in 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, dude, it'll be 6 full months.
That is nuts. And we've got, what do you got? Like till October 30th when we leave to do this thing. And then November 1st is the race. Are you going to try to do them throughout November, December, January? Are you going to finish?
Dude, I haven't decided yet. I have not decided. Because October, like we'll be able to do them through the 31st, and like finish out the month of October. And the month of October is 200 burpees a day. So, now November and December, I'm like, well, dude, I don't know, because like you're not like in pursuit of the goal anymore. You know, like the race, you're not building up to that anymore. But like, do you want to close out the year? Do I want to do like a full 12 months and just keep going till March for the sake of doing it for 12? Like, I don't know. I haven't decided yet, and I'm not going to decide for a while. So
dude, we got to test your blood after. I'm like, send your blood into labs and study. But no, it's like, that's cool, man. I'm really proud of you for continuing strong. Thanks, on that. I look back on that with Tyler, and I like Tyler started getting like legitimately injured. Like his shins were messed up and I'm like, okay, yeah. I didn't make time for it anymore to do it. And because my workout time with Tyler was like, that's the time I'm setting apart with our knocking schedule. Right. And, but long story short, Tyler and I's workouts have gone from that to, we've been doing a lot of like WODs that are like making us want to throw up. So like still high intensity stuff.
Yeah.
And running some days. And then some days we'll just load up the squat bar and just lift heavy. And so just doing things that are fun for us right now. But I like how you said, you're like, it's not fun, but you've been extremely disciplined in doing it. And so that just shows like a huge part of your character. And something that you wanted to work on this year was like, I want to be consistent, which is so cool, dude. Like,
well, and that's the muscle that needed the most, you know, working out. Like, I'd like to have bigger pecs. Yeah. I'd like my six pack to come through. Yeah. I'd like my legs to be bigger, but discipline is, and like, that's the muscle that's been the weakest for sure. So, it's, you know, by no means perfect, but we've made some serious progress. And more importantly, this is just a bunch of evidence that you can do something. Right. Like every time you tackle a challenge or whatever, like there's kind of this fine balance to be had of, you don't want to live in the past, but you need to use the evidence of the past to help like inform the identity that you have and help you go forward to continue to do that thing or to continue to do hard things in general.
Yeah. Well, so last podcast, we had talked about like your coaching, we had talked about like risks and like, what are you giving up by not going for it?
Yeah.
And so talking about like evidence from the past. So recently I decided to kind of have a change in career. I was really nervous about how that conversation would go with Anthem, but overall it was awesome. Like just, hey, Austin, you've been great. We appreciate you. And I explained to them, like, guys, I just want to do something different, explore other things.
Yeah.
And there is that sense of like, okay, well, it is nerve-wracking, right? But at the same time, like what you talked about, like past evidence, like I do have a ton of evidence that I can plug into a system, figure it out. And the discipline muscle is what got me super far in everything. Just being very rigid with a schedule.
Yeah.
Like sticking to a game plan. So I think for me, and one of the people in my collective group that I'm a part of, I just kind of talked to them about some stuff that was on my mind. And they're like, hey, dude, you got to remember, like, now you've got a ton of skills and a ton of evidence that you're able to figure this out. Like, you don't need to be worried. It's like, dude, you know how to do this. You've got a skill set now. Whereas before, when I was unemployed with having just moved out here to Georgia, I didn't have the skill set. I had a lot of other things going for me. Like, I still do have a great work ethic, but I didn't have the skill set. I didn't know anything. I was kind of blind, just kind of going into things, trying to figure it out. And now there's a lot more hope. There's a lot more optimism and there's a lot more peace because like we put ourselves in a financial position where I do have this time where I can like figure out new options and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And so consulting is one of the big ones where I feel like down the road, like consulting is probably the best and the biggest way to make a great income and to impact lives. So there's a lot of routes that I'm looking into there, but yeah, just talk about past evidence. And last time I was kind of beating around the bush because I hadn't decided anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, set in stone. Like I finished up my agreement with Anthem and I was really refreshing. Like my bosses were just like, hey, we've loved working with you. Thank you. And the door is always open to go back and work with them. Like that, there were no bridges burned, which I think is awesome. That's a good,
right.
I think it doesn't happen a lot in door to door where people leave on good terms.
Yeah.
People just burn bridges like crazy.
Yeah.
I think as long as there's respect and gratitude for what's been done, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
So little update on my end.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's awesome. I'm excited. And so you have on here, coaching with Corey. What is that about?
So Corey is the guy that started the collective. So I'm going to have a phone call with him here soon about just what does it look like to coach with him? That's one of the things that before I even got into the collective, there was one night where I'm like, man, I want to coach, because I've hired a ton of coaches. You talked about your coach last week. Yep. It's one of the best return on investments that you could ever make. I tell a lot of the guys that do summer sales, they're like, they finish their first summer and then they feel like a failure because they don't have a rental property. And I'm like, dude, this is such a backwards mindset. Like, you need to take that chunk of money and invest a good chunk of it back into yourself, into coaching, into experiences, and into mentors, because that's what's actually going to propel you so that you do have a good chunk of cash down the road to drop into an investment. If you don't work on yourself, then you're not going to be able to create. I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the last 4 years is if you don't invest into yourself, you will never become the type of person that can make $250,000 in a year or 300 grand in a year. Like, that doesn't happen if you don't invest in yourself. So I heard that from the man who invested into Anthem. His name is Brent. And the advice that he gave all of the reps, this is like my first year I'd ever started at Anthem. He came in to share his story about working at McDonald's, like staying up super late, trying to keep his McDonald's running. Now he has got like most of the McDonald's in the Las Vegas region, those are all his. And so he's made tons of money. He owns restaurants. He's done incredible things. But the advice that he gave us was like, take a huge chunk of your back end and dump it back into yourself, whether that be experiences, coaching. And a lot of my coaches have been therapists. Like, that's what the vibe has kind of been. They help me work on myself. And there's also a sales aspect. That's why I've loved working with Corey. So back to Corey, is I do believe 1,000% in the coaching game.
Yeah.
I know how to do it because I've been coached, and I've also been able to have a hand in other individuals' lives through not only Anthem, but just helping out friends hit their goals and being like a friend who I have a group chat for people that push me through to my goal. And I've got added into a couple group chats, be like, hey, I need your help. Push me through to my goal. The other day, I don't think he'll mind this, but I had a buddy in my men's group that called me and he was like, dude, I don't think I can do this. And I had a phone call from one of my coaches that probably had about 20 F-bombs in it. And I then dealt that to this friend of mine. so it was awesome because it was one of those phone calls where, you know, you're down in the fourth quarter and you don't need a pat on the back. You need somebody to kind of singe your eyebrows off. And that's really what happened. I then asked one of his friends, I was like, hey, do you think that phone call is going to be received well? And they're like, yeah, it's okay. So, but long story short, I think that working with Corey will be like really, really rewarding for me right now. That is one of the funnest things that I've done at Anthem. Like the cool thing at Anthem was coaching, was training and shadowing. And that's what I'm really good at. Now, the thing that pays the most is selling, which I'll always be able to do to keep the roof over our head and to keep the bills paid. But the fulfillment totally switched over the last couple of years, where like I enjoy doing the training stuff way more now. And eventually that gets to a point where that can overtake the personal production 100%. I still do believe I've got some big years under my belt for pest control. There is an option where I start my own pest control company down the road, which, you know, if I'm putting on $500,000 in revenue a year, that'd be kind of nice to have all of that for myself. And, you know, I think the future is really bright is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So you got a lot of options.
Yeah. Coaching. And that's the, I think that is the, I hate to call it an issue, but that's the biggest quote unquote issue is, cool, I've got a lot of options. I was so successful at my last company because I just chose one category and I dug deep in that category. Now I just need to go do that again.
Yeah.
And right, the month of September, like my theme for the month of September is trying things out. and dipping my toes in things, not because I'm not willing to commit, but to get some appetizers, to get some samples.
Yeah.
Like I'm selling solar with my buddy in this neighborhood. Cool. That'd be fun. Sample that out. I'm starting my real estate license. Sample that out. Like at least open the gate so that it is an option. I'm not just aimlessly going about. I'm actually cool. Like I've put myself in a great position where I can now experiment and have a little trial period for, hey, what do I want to do?
Right.
And that's really cool. Solar is something that excites, not necessarily. Okay. Solar is something that is like the boogeyman to me. If I'm being okay. It defeated me back in Utah. Like,
yeah. Cause didn't, when you went into door to door after you didn't get a job at Cracker Barrel, then you went into solar sales first, right?
Reverse.
You went to solar sales and then it didn't go well.
Denied, and then pest control did great.
Okay.
So the PTSD came back the other day when I set like 3 appointments for solar, and then the next day they all no-showed.
Yeah.
So the next day we went out and I just freaking same date it, just because that's my pest control brain is
right.
If it doesn't close now, it will never close. Like that's the way I think. But right. I have been told by, especially the guy that's I'm working with right now, Madison, it's like, dude, you have to kind of shift your thinking a little bit for this. And I don't have commission breath. I don't need people's money. I just want to learn how to do this and I want to help people.
Right.
But the time window on this is a lot longer, because with pest control, I can pretty much stand at your porch until you agree. With solar panels, it's like you're in the house alone. It's not a huge deal at the end of the day. You're lowering their bill.
No.
It's not a big deal. Like, have you done it too?
Yeah.
For me, man, before I go to Running Man, which is another thing on the radar, before I go to Running Man, I want to wrap up a deal. And that's my goal. Like, sell a deal before the 13th of September. That's an awesome goal. It's exciting. And I don't want to work for free. I just want to conquer a giant. And I don't even know that solar is the best model for me long-term in life to make a ton of money. I just want to go conquer a giant. And it's not, I had to do a lot of self-evaluation of like, hey, is this selfish of me to leave a really good paying job that, you know, I'm good at, but I felt like it would almost be unfair to myself not to try other things because of our last, like what we talked about last time. It's like, what are you missing by not trying?
Yeah.
The reality is I could have stayed where I was at. And I actually will refer people to go to Anthem. I think they're an incredible place to go work.
Yeah.
I built their training program there. I think my training program is awesome. But I think I owe it to myself to go try something else and to scratch an itch and to figure out other routes for myself, just because whatever I do in life, I'll be good at. I do have that belief. Whatever I do, I will be really good at. So, and I don't think God cares what I do for work at the end of the day either. I think he wants me to be happy. He wants me to do really well at what I do. And he wants me to serve people. So that's a big update on my life. And like,
yeah, dude,
the way I'm able to get through it is by knowing that I have the skill set, I have the discipline, I have the work ethic to make things happen. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Well, in the story of the Knights of the Round Table, when they go off to, I can't remember what exactly it was they were searching for. But when they went out searching, they looked at the forest and they said that they would go the axiom or the kind of rule that they followed was that you went to the darkest part of the forest. That's where you went. You didn't go to where it was happiest or the most bright. You went to the darkest part of the forest because that's where you were going to find what it was that you were looking for. Like the gold isn't just sitting on the table. The gold's sitting behind a giant fire-breathing dragon. You know, like there's a reason that all the mythical stories involve people facing just the biggest seemingly insurmountable obstacles that there are. Like that's it, because the worthwhile things, not just physical things, but the things that are worth having are on the other side of the discomfort. You know, everything that you don't have that you want is on the other side of the discomfort, because otherwise you'd already have it, right? Like if it was easy, you'd already have it. And if it was easy and you already had it, then you wouldn't be valuing it that much. But there's a reason that these things are difficult, and we value them because they're difficult. Like that's they go hand in hand. And so I think it's awesome that you're looking at this as not, you know, I'm not trying to find the next best way to make a bunch of money. I'm not trying to see how I can make the same amount of money but work less or not work as hard. It's no, this is a monster. This is a big old beast, a big old fire breathing dragon, and I want to conquer it and see what's on the other side. That's it. When I signed up to do solar, there was zero reason I needed to do it. It was like I had a summer off basically as like a master's student, and that I was getting paid by the Air Force to go be a student. And yeah, I was getting paid to have my summer vacation. And I told my wife, I was like, look, I tried to do this for the Air Force. I tried to do this for like my education. The school won't let me do this. The Air Force won't let me do this. And so I think instead of sitting here at home every day, us going to the beach and watching movies every single day, I would like to go sell solar. And my wife looked at me like I was freaking bananas, but she was completely on board with it.
You closed quite a few. And I remember our conversation, we've brought it up in past episodes. You're like, man, I didn't hit my goal. And
yeah,
what people don't realize is solar panels is a beast. Like it's not just something you can walk into and have a cakewalk.
Right.
In.
Right.
But I think we went over like this, like, hey, talk to me about it objectively. What did you do? And you did go and close some. You did,
right.
You did install panels. Like you did have a successful summer. And I feel like that learning experience has helped you. And you can correct me if I'm off here, but I feel like that learning experience in door to door has impacted your military career. I would even
say Yeah. Aside from like when I tell people they think I'm freaking nuts, but like aside from that, like seriously, like the rate of return on the number of hours I put in was not great. Like it was like I would have made the same amount of money working at freaking Chipotle for all the hours that I put in. Like, however, I would not have met the people that I met, and I would not have been exposed to the mindset of these people. Because we've talked about it before, especially on the show, like I didn't know anyone prior to the summer of 2021. Prior to that, I did not know anybody who firmly believed they could go out and make $1 million in a year, let alone knew anyone who had done it multiple times over. Like I didn't know any of that. I didn't know anyone who, I did know a couple of people who were worth a lot of money, but like, I didn't really know anyone, especially not anyone like near my age, like who had big old mansions or drove fancy cars or like none of that. I didn't know anybody. And so then step into the solar room of a wonderful company. And like when I would tell people, I was like, hey, I was like really like shy. And I was like, hey, I did some numbers and I think this is a goal that I have. What do you think? You know, like I had no idea, you know, like how do you, like, if you've never been given permission to have audacious goals or huge dreams, like, because for example, I've been in the military for a long time now. And like, basically since I like left high school, went to the military, we went on our missions and then we came back to like, my whole life has been scripted. Like you're going to do this and you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Like, yeah, I voluntarily did sign up for those things. But like for a lot of that, you just get told what to do and you do the thing. So then you walk into a room and they're like, what goals do you have? What do you want to do? You will get out of this what you put in it. I'm like, oh, that's okay. Well, then I don't know. Am I allowed to have these dreams? And so I told some people my goals. It's like, hey, I think this is the goal that I have. And they were like, okay, so if that's the number, then you need to knock this many doors every week, every month, every week, every day. Yeah, this is what you'd have to do. And I was like, what? There was no pushback. There was no like raised eyebrows. It was just, okay, like statistically, this is what you would have to do in order to get there. So like have at it. And I'll never forget, dude, the first day that I showed up and John, he like, we stood at the whiteboard. He was like, all right, so how much time do you have? And he was former military as well. So I told him, I was like, look, I've got this many months. This is what I've got. This is kind of my schedule. This is what I could devote to selling. And he was like, all right. So if you stick to this and if you hit these things, you would probably make, like, you'll probably make $100,000-$150,000. And I was like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And he's like, yeah, like that's, he's like, yeah, he's like, once you become a closer, like, cause right now you're just setting a point that you'll just be setting. But once you become a closer, you can start closing your own deals. Then if you're knocking this much, if you're putting in this many hours, then like, there's no reason that you can't make $100,000-$150,000. And I was like, I don't even know what to say, you know? And so we talked and I was like, well, you know, this is when I have to get out. And he's like, what if you can buy out your military contract? And I was like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And he was like, what if you made enough money this year to buy out your military contract? Would you do it? And I was like, he wasn't like, he's former military. Like, he's not like, he's by all means, he is a patriot, but he was just saying like, dude, these are real possibilities. Now, like, if I wanted to buy out my military contract, like, I think we're talking like upwards of like $400,000, if not more. I mean, like, we're not buying out my contract. Like, that'd be dumb. But just the fact that he asked the question meant he was like, he wasn't thinking in the same universe that I was living in at the time, you know? And so now, like, I am still in contact with these people. I, you know, I still follow them on Instagram. I still like message them every now and then. Like, we still have conversations, and I'm exposed to people who have bigger dreams, bigger visions, and belief in themselves and in the people around them. And I would not trade that for any amount of money.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to be in a room of people that have done some incredible things. And it's just cool to meet new people too. Like, your network expanded so much by doing
that. Oh yeah.
And people that are thinking way differently, because you're right, in the military, they tell you what to do, where to be, you know,
what to wear, how to walk.
And then you're in this reminds me of Archer. So Archer was a guy that came out to sell with us this summer, and he is studying at Harvard. His dad is in charge of some massive company. I don't know if it's like business acquisition or something like that. And he heard on a podcast that in order to become a billionaire, like, most billionaires have knocked doors. So he finds Anthem online. He calls our office and he introduces himself like, hey, I'm just taking my summer off from Harvard and I just would like to try something new and learn how to knock doors. And so we brought him into our program. We trained him. Him and I became really good friends. But his whole purpose was just to learn how to sell. Yeah. And it was really cool because he didn't need the money. Like, that's one thing right now. Like, I've worked my tail off for the last 4 years. So like, I'm not in a position where like, I'm scared of money, like, between the money I've made and my back end checks that come in, like, I'm doing okay. Like, we're doing just fine. So that's I think you asked me one time, or you said one time, you're like, what would I have done? We did a podcast about this. What would I have done if money was not an issue? If it was like, what would you go do? And that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, obviously I'm not retired. I'm not in a position where I can just go do whatever I want, but there's a space in my life where I've planned to have time. And I think that's really valuable to, on that same note, to like, to use that time well, to explore and to also create memories too.
Yeah.
Like, this Running Man festival will be really cool. I am going to go with my buddy Tyler, the guy that I work out with every morning, mm-hmm. and we're going to run a marathon. It's his first marathon ever. It'll actually be my first ever official marathon. I've only done half marathons and ultras that have been like official. So I've never run just a marathon in an official event. All my marathons have been to burritos, unofficial. So this will be really fun. Like, Mike Posner's, is that his name? Mike Posner, the guy that sings "You're Cooler Than Me." I sang the song the other day for Kaya and she made fun of me because it didn't sound right. But we're going to hear that. We're going to have to do like the world's largest sauna, the cold plunges, all of that stuff. And I think it'll be cool this time because the goal for me actually is not to like PR. The goal for me this year is to run a marathon with my friend. And that's
it. Yeah.
That, and it's so much like, marathons are hard. Like, a 50K race is hard. But last year it was so selfish. I went with Parley Brown. Mm-hmm. This was not a bad thing. Like, this is the first time I've ever done an ultra. Right. But I went with Parley, and Parley was running his marathon, and I just was like, dude, I'm gone. See ya. And I just left him. And I'd see him every now and then, and he'd be cramping up. But Parley finished his marathon just fine, and we made friends along the way.
Yeah.
But the point was to just run a 50K last year and to run the furthest I've ever run. But this year, I don't care to run the furthest I've ever run. It's like, no, I'm going to go and make a memory, have an experience with my workout buddy that I spend the most time with. Yeah. I think some of my best friends, you don't have to spend the most time with. You just have to spend the best time with. Like, you're one of my best friends. Jeremy Davis is one of my best friends. And now Tyler is too. I spend the most time with him out of all three of you guys.
Yeah.
It's just cool though, because me and you could, and this is what happened with our relationship, is we didn't talk for the longest time, picked up our friendship. Like, we just picked up a phone call, and it's like, cool. Like, our lives and our visions and kind of what we're thinking align. And so that's kind of what I'm seeing with the other relationships in my life. And it's like, some relationships, some friendships, they were meant for a time, a reason, and a season.
Yeah.
And dude, me and you have been friends for almost like 6 years now, I think.
No, dude, it'll be 10 years next year.
Are you kidding?
Dead serious, dude. We served our missions from 2015 to 2017, and we met at Christmas. It was at that like Christmas event thing where we were like getting the ties and stuff.
What was it called?
The Fardos.
Fardos.
Yeah,
dude.
You get a bow Fardo full of ties. Yeah. So yeah, next Christmas, dude, it'll be 10 years. That's insane. That is so insane, dude.
It is so cool.
But yeah, dude, you're totally right though, because Ed Milet talks about it all the time. Like, you have like friends can come and go. Like, your friends don't have to be best friends forever. You know, like, you have a long freaking life ahead of you, man. And so many opportunities to meet people. And it is okay. It is perfectly okay to have friends come into your life and to go. I mean, imagine all the people that like you've gone into their lives and you've left their lives, and you're still a good person. You're still out there doing your thing. Yeah. Like, but it's impossible to maintain contact with every single person that you've ever, you know, been friends with. And I think the important thing is like that the people around you that or the friends that you spend the bulk of your time with are the kind of people who aren't looking backwards and just saying like, dude, remember that? Because how boring would this podcast be? How boring would our conversations be if all we did was talk about our mission?
Oh, like, dude. We'd run
out. Right. We'd have run out of stuff to talk about like a year and a half ago. So, but that's not what we talk about at all, dude. We barely even talk about our mission. Like, it comes up here and there, but that's not what's exciting us. You know, we're not living in the past. We're living in the future, like in the today to tomorrow. What are you doing? Where are your goals? Where are you at? And like, the conversations just continue to evolve. And as you know, it was founded. Our relationship started back there in Chile in 2015, but we're not living back there. We're living here.
It's cool. It's cool to see the friendships that last longer than, you know, six, seven years. Like, Jeremy did a little reel the other day about friendships that last longer than 7 years. And there's like something that happens where, like, if you can keep a friendship going for like more than 7 years, it's like you're homies for life. So that's how I feel about you and Jeremy. You guys have both been in my life for that period of time. If I'm not incorrect, two of the people that I've still am in touch with, two of the friendships I'm still in touch, still in touch with. Did you ever meet Miles Lewis?
I think we met once, but I don't remember. Like,
you did out in Colorado. He comes out every year to visit. You know, him and I are really close friends. We stayed close friends throughout high school, and now we still connect sometimes every couple months, but it's cool. But
yeah,
dude, speaking of future goals, I'm looking at our kind of spread, our document there, and it talks about Marisha's Instagram
plan. Yeah, dude. Okay.
I have no idea. I want to
we can talk. Well, so we'll start with kind of talking about coaching. Oh, and then we'll back up. So, okay. So something that's crazy about getting married is that, like, you may think that you are like oh, we are like, we are totally honest with each other and we don't keep any secrets and we are like, we are one. Dude, you may not like actively be keeping any secrets from your spouse, but dude, the process of like becoming one, the way the scriptures talk about like becoming one flesh, dude, it is a process. Like there are so many things that like over the last, you know, when my wife and I have been married 4 years and some change, like so many things that I was like embarrassed to tell my wife, like stories from the past or just like simple, silly things that happened that I would be like embarrassed to tell her. And when eventually I did tell her, did she just laugh? Like that was it. But like it's even though you are like best friends and you are a husband and wife and you are together, like there's still every opportunity to like withhold things from each other. And it like becoming one is a, I think a huge part of that is learning to it's the practice of learning to be entirely open with someone. Like you think you're open, but there are so many more levels and there's so much more depth to what it means to like open up wholly to someone. One of those things being like talking about your dreams, your goals, your fears. And so I've been telling Marisha about like the goals and the dreams that I have, but something I hadn't told her for a long time was actually the specific monetary goals that I had set to my website, to my podcast for credit card rewards, military travel rewards. And I told her like, these are like, well, you know, I think we can get to financial independence before we leave the military and whatnot, but I hadn't told her exactly. The goal that I have for this year is that by the end of the year, we have a net worth of $300,000. Like I hadn't said that. And I hadn't told her yet that by the end of next year, the goal is to have $600,000 or to be have a net worth of $600,000. And then the following year is $900,000 with by February 10th of 2027, $1 million. I hadn't said any of those words. I just kind of like beat around the bush. And I don't know exactly why, but I think the answer is I hadn't said it because I was afraid to tell her. And I think I was embarrassed to say it out loud because if I said it to her, then I would be accountable for it. And if you don't say it and you're not accountable for it, then it doesn't matter if you don't do it. But it does matter because my dreams matter. My goals matter. And so I'd been talking to my coach a couple of weeks ago and you and I had talked about it. Like, what does it mean to play all out, to let it all go, to be like to not hold back, to not pour water on your own fire, to just let it go, and to let the magic and the fire that's within you, just to let it out. And one of those things is like not shying away from difficult conversations. One of them is to be like honest and open and forthright with everybody. And something we talked about was like, I haven't told my wife yet the dollar amounts of the goals that I have and like when I want to reach those milestones. I've come up with them in my head and I've kept them secrets. And I think for a long time, I was just thinking like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Like I'm the one doing the work. I'm the one recording and the editing and the putting out and the working with the credit card issuers and stuff. Like I'm doing all of that stuff. So like my goals really only need to stay within the quote unquote employees of this business, which is just me. But then I realized like, no, dude, like everything I do is with my wife. And even though I'm the one doing the work here, she's the one that's with our daughters when I'm in the attic recording, when I'm in the attic doing this, she is very much a part of this. And why would I have goals and dreams if she's not a part of them? And so the other, it was just a week ago or so, like we were just like talking in bed and, I don't remember how it came up, but finally I told her, I was like, these are the goals that I have for this website. And she just looked at me and she said, okay, like we can cool. Do it. Let's do it. You know? And dude, the relief, the unburdening of that weight and really the support that comes with that. Dude, I don't know why I've been hiding these things forever. Like I don't understand it. You know, I don't know why we do these things, but we do. And it requires work to like, to be open and to let it go and to be out there. And since then, dude, my wife's had several ideas that have been fantastic. One of them, she had showed me this Instagram account a while back. And she's like, I really love the way this guy does his reels. They're all the same. He's always in a beautiful place. And it's like a 45 second reel of just, it's just him. I mean, this dude's like in his 50s and he's just like recording himself. And he's like, hey, if you've got really stubborn children or whatever, this is something, here's a way to talk to them instead of saying this, this like might get better results with this thing that you want than this other thing. And she's like, I really, really like one, the advice that he gives, because it's not so much like you have to do life this way or else you are not the Instagram mom, you know, like it's not that kind of like condescending, judgmental thing, but it's like very helpful, frank, direct advice that she really likes. And then she was like the first time she showed me, she's like, I just really like this guy. And then she was like, I really like the way that he does his videos and the way that he manages his account, because he records this thing. And then at the very end, he always says, for more information on this, listen to this podcast episode that I did where we talk about this for an hour. Cool. And she's like, and so then I want to go and listen to his podcast because he's given me something that was valuable that I can take action on right now if I want. And he's telling me where to go to get more information. And she's like, and I don't have to see any of his other videos to know what he's talking about, who he is, and like what he's about. Every single video is like a standalone video, but at the same time, I could very easily get lost in all of his videos, just like going through his account. And she brought it to me and she's like, I think you could do this with Military Miler. And I was like, I totally could. You're right. Yeah, we could. And so then we started like brainstorming ideas back and forth, back and forth. And so now we have a plan, and it's it's a plan, and it's one that we're doing together as a family. So like I'm prepping all of the reels that we're going to record. And I mean, it's just going to be me holding my phone saying, hey, regarding your Amex Platinum, if you're a military member, blah, 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 blah. Like just, you know, short. And if you want more information on this, we talk about this in episode 4 of the Military Miler. You can check it out in the description. Done. Like, and Rich was like, and this dude, like, he's always in a beautiful place because he loves hiking. And every now and then he just mentions, oh, and by the way, I'm in the, you know, whatever mountains, they're beautiful. Or, oh, by the way, here's my dog. And then, you know, like, that's it. She's like, what if we just went to a beautiful place? Like, this would maybe give us more motivation to go exploring, because we live in Italy and we do travel a good amount, but we could definitely travel more. She's like, maybe we can do more day trips, maybe do once or twice a month, and we can go somewhere and you can spend an hour just recording like your reels. You know, I can come. And I was like, yeah, I can come with, you know, 15, 20 reels ready to record, and then just boom, 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 knock them all out, find a beautiful place, knock them all out. And then we can just continue exploring and enjoy the rest of our day. And that's, it's like a way to do both the work and our family together doing this thing. And like those ideas were all hers. They were not my ideas. You know, I'm the one who started the website. I'm the one that's like putting all these things forward, but I need my wife, dude. Like I need her in everything. We need each other. And by bringing her in and letting her know the goals that I have, dude, her brain's working. Like it's working. And she's coming to me with ideas and thoughts. And I'm like, dude, I wouldn't have come up with this on my own. Thank you so much. Let's make some stuff happen. So that's like the Instagram plan. And then on top of that, dude, now that I'm here in the UK for work, like I'm not putting our daughters to bed every night. I'm not doing a lot of other stuff that I would normally be doing back in Italy. So like I've got a lot of time, and I've just been like working through editing and recording, and you know, like you have to build the daily actions into every day, no matter like where you are in life, as far as like wanting to push things forward. But when you have an opportunity like this to just really just like dive in, dude, like you've got to take advantage of it. Cause like, this is a real chance, not just to like get a little bit more done than I usually do. Like, dude, this is a huge chance to build a backlog of videos, a backlog of episodes, like to really like kickstart or really like magnify the time that we have, and like make this really, really worth it. So definitely lots of things moving on the work side, and definitely learning a whole bunch of skills. But I want to get your thoughts on this, dude. So Marisha and I were talking about it. We were like, you know, we often talk about like the goal, the work that we're doing as if it's like what we're planning on doing forever. But like, who's to say we're going to be doing anything even remotely like this 10 years from now, 5 years from now? And then just yesterday we found out, dude, that there's basically like a 99% chance that we're going back to Colorado after Italy. So I talked to the assignments team because you and I had talked about how there's like, we got two more years in Italy and then we want to go to Germany. We want to go to Utah. We want to go do all these other jobs and things. And then we want to go to Colorado because there's probably a pretty good chance after we go to Colorado that we will get out of the military. So I talked to my assignments team and they were like, yeah, we have you slotted to go do your payback after Italy. And they were like, yeah, but next August they will, USAFA will actually, like finalize the list of who specifically is going to come back and do their payback. So there's still a chance that, like, you don't end up on that list for whatever reason. But if everything goes according to the current plan, you were going in August of 2026.
And your payback, because right now you're currently quote unquote paying back. When you go to a service academy, you owe the military 4 years. Isn't that right?
Five.
But because of some of the language learning programs you've done, is there an additional payback to the academy itself?
Yeah. So there are a couple. So when you graduate from a service academy, it's 5 years. If you go to ROTC or officer training school or whatever, it's 4 years. So I went to USAFA, so that's five. But because I went on a graduate school scholarship and went straight to grad school for a year and a half, it added an extra year and a half to my commitment. So my 5 years turned into six and some change. Instead of, because I graduated in April of 2020. So instead of getting out April of 2025, my service commitment extended out to August of 2026. But then that's just like the counter, like the time ticking. But because I went to grad school on this specific program at the academy, they have a requirement that after you go do one assignment, then you come back to USAFA as a teacher. And so it just so happens that like my time in Italy aligns with my technical date that I'm allowed to separate if I wanted to. But I think that date would actually get kicked out to the end of whenever I'm done in Colorado, which is like a 3 or 4 year assignment.
I love Colorado. I think it's exciting that, and that's where you met Marissa, right?
Yeah, she's from Colorado Springs.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Colorado is great.
But dude,
it'd be cool to live there one day.
And that's just the thing, is that's the one day when we're done with this, that's where we want to settle down. And so
that one day is pretty quick, it sounds
Dude, that's the problem. Like we're not ready for it. Like we've been talking about it and Marisha and we went back to the States in January. We're like, dude, maybe we do want to come back. We want our daughters to like spend time with their cousins. Like this is all important stuff, blah, blah, blah. We're like, but dude, can you pass up the opportunity to go to Europe, to stay in Europe? Like, yeah, we miss going home when we're home. But then when we're out here, dude, we're like I couldn't care less about going back to the United States. And for me, I've freaking been back to work or other stuff in the state. I've been back to the States like six times and we've only been here for like 2 years. So like I go back plenty. But like, dude, we want to go to Germany. Like that's actually where we want to go. We want to go to Germany next. Like our daughters understand, or well, our 2-month-old doesn't understand anything, but Talitha, she understands German. She knows a good amount of German. Marisha talks to her in German all the time. Like we want to go to Germany. Like that's where we wanted to go next and then go to Colorado. And if we couldn't go to Germany, then, one sec. All right. And if we couldn't go to Germany, then like we want to go do an assignment in Utah or do this other special program for the Air Force and then go to Colorado. But we always kind of knew like there's a good chance we'll have to go back to Colorado, but we'll deal with it then. And there's still that small chance that we don't have to go back to Colorado yet. And we'll fight for it for sure. But like now that it's looking like pretty certain that we got to go, dude, we're not ready. One, we're not ready. The housing market's not ready. Like we were like, you know, maybe if we just stay out of the States long enough, dude, then the housing market will come back down to reasonable rates. And then we'll go ahead and be able to afford a house when we come back. But yeah, so with that, dude, we have no idea what we want to do. Like you're talking about like all your options. I'm like, dude, if I got out of the military today, like I have things that I would start doing tomorrow, but like, they're just like short-term backup plans of jobs that I would do in the meantime, but I have no idea what I want to do getting out of the military. Like, and that, that's coming up a lot faster than we were expecting.
Well, I think for me right now, like I'm actually in a short-term options phase right now. Like that's actually not a bad thing. It's like, cause a lot of times, sometimes those short-term options end up being like, oh, cool. Like I like this, let's roll, you know, but that's, I mean, you're at a good spot where like, hey, you've got, here's the thing, dude, is I think whatever, the same kind of belief system that I'm operating off of is like, whatever I do, I'll succeed. I think you have that. I know that you have that. One of your mantras is I can learn anything. And I still love the story where the guy's like, where did you get that? And you're like, yeah. I made it. But you will do well in whatever you do. I always encourage people that have a knack for working with people to jump into a sales kind of environment. Because if you can provide value to people, you'll always have money the rest of your life. And you always have a way to provide. But it is also as exciting as it is, like it's also a little like scary too. It's like, cool. But the fear that I have right now, if I'm being really transparent, there's fear. There's like a little bit of fear, like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm onto something new, but it's backed with excitement.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. But like that, that's always when you do something new, it's always full steam ahead, exciting. But it's also good to have a little bit of unknown in your life and to figure things out. People typically switch careers 5 to 6 times in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was joking with Tyler the other day. What came up? And I'm like, nah, you know, Harrison Ford was a janitor when he tried out for Star Wars. And I think I'm going to take that route. So like Harrison Ford was like a cleaning crew, dude. And then he ended up becoming a star. But who knows if that's in the cards. What did he bring up? The other day he brought up, I could go be a WWE superstar. And I'm like, okay, look, that doesn't necessarily pay the bills. Then I started thinking, well, who would my character be? Like, what would be my wrestler name? just having fun with it. But it is a cool phase because then you and your wife get to create what the future looks like. Because right now, yeah. Kaya and I are having some conversations about, okay, what does the future look like? What do we want it to look like? Dude, we've had I had a crazy 4 years where we went from having nothing to now we realized most of our goals, like to get rental properties, to get a house that will house all the X amount of kids we want to have. I mean,
right.
And getting clear, crystal clear about what you want to have is something that I think is really good to do in a marriage. It's cool that you did that with Marisha. Kaya and I, okay, I'll say this. My decision on what I decide to do with my future will get way, way easier as soon as Kaya and I get crystal clear on where we want to go over the next 4 years. I think it's okay to do like a 4-year vision plan, 5-year vision.
Yeah.
Because we did that and now we have it. Like we are sitting in the game plan that we wanted 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
And so that dude, that evidence alone gives me the belief that I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
I do also know that with starting something new, I remember how hard I had to work in pest control, which is pest control still a very lucrative thing that I can do the rest of my life. It's not off the radar either. Like, you know, I've got non-competes put in place for the state of Georgia, which I will follow. Like I don't need to break those, but I could go sell pest control in another state, you know, and that's a possibility where I could go make money. But, you know, down the road, I think for us, like a long-term vision for me is possibly doing a pest control, starting my own company down the road, which I think every pest control owner I've talked to has been like, it's harder than you think. And I'm like, cool, let's do it. I mean, sounds fun. Like there's only so much I could do where I was currently at, where I was at previously to grow. And I think training is amazing. I've made a huge impact. Selling individual accounts is fun, but it had lost its luster to me because it wasn't coupled with, well, it wasn't like I wasn't going anywhere else after that. Like I didn't own the accounts, and that's in the back of my head after having kids. I'm like, well, now I want to own something because I do want to have a retirement where I can one day walk away from a business and sell it, make a couple million. And then I'm retired. Like, and I know, who did I talk to the other day? They're like, you're already talking about retirement and you're 28. And I'm like, yeah. Why do you think that's weird? I'm like, I think it's weird to wait to retire until you're 60. If I can get there faster, why wouldn't I want to get to that position faster? If I have, if I have vehicles that allow me to get there way fast, why would I, if I could run a marathon in 4 days, why wouldn't I run it in 4 hours? And I think that's where I'm at right now with financially, like wanting to hit some of these goals. I found sales is a vehicle where you can make a crazy amount of money very, very fast.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I do that? And then continue to do things I love, you know,
dude,
like maybe continue to do that thing. Same thing. Like do selling.
Well, and Marisha and I were just talking about this the other day. We were talking about how, somebody asked the question, like, is there a certain amount of money at which point, or like, is there a certain amount of money that you could have at which point you don't need a budget anymore? You don't need to like worry about the money that you have. And, Jesse Meekum from YNAB, he was like, I think it is an even greater moral responsibility for you to be judicious with your money as you have more of it, because you have more of it. You know, there are tons and tons of people starving around the world, tons of people living in abject poverty, tons of people just like struggling to make ends meet everywhere. And if you've got millions in the bank and you're just like wasting it, Not to say that you can't enjoy things in life, but wasting your money, like that's not okay. Like it's immoral to be like wasting things, you know? And, and so Marisha and I had talked to, she's like, we make great money and we save a ton of it. Like we've put these artificial constraints around our budget, where like, if we were spending all of the money that came in, dude, I wouldn't even know what to do with all of our money. Like we make great money, but we want to plan for the future. We're talking about retirement. Like most of our money is going in, well, not most literally, but like a ton of our money goes to, saving for retirement. Like that's exactly where it goes. And it's getting invested because we want to take care of the back end of life now. Like that's what we're trying to do. But Marisha's like, I would be so happy if we maintained this same, kind of level of constraint that we have forever. Like I want to still be making those trade-offs of like, well, we're not going to do this so that we can do this, because it means that we are intentional about the money that we have. And I was like, yeah. And if we make way more than that, then it gives us, like, as long as we have covered our own bases and like are taking care of ourselves, then all of that other money can get spent on other things. And I say spent in that, like, you can spend it by donating it. You can spend it by creating nonprofits. You can spend it by creating companies that have that are for-profit companies so that they can be like sustainable, right? But that are doing, that are having huge impacts in the world. There are tons of them everywhere, you know, like 4Ocean, dude, I think it's one of the coolest companies out there. Like they're set out to clean the oceans. Like that's their goal. And so they sell stuff and they take donations and whatnot, but like they sell bottles and shirts and whatnot, but all of the things that they do and the money that they use that they receive, like in donations, they use it to build boats that go out with these huge nets and they're just like raking up trash out of the ocean, dude. It's insane. And they have like these crane arms off the boats and they're like recycling, like separating stuff out. I'm like, dude, what an impact, you know? Like how cool is that they're having this huge, I say huge impact in that like I could never clean out of the ocean that many things by myself. Now, maybe like per the size of the ocean, it's not a quote unquote huge impact, but like their goal is to clean the oceans. And so like, why wouldn't you want to tackle some enormous goal like that, you know, and then spend your whole life pursuing it and trying to make this huge impact in the world? And you're not going to be able to do that on, you know, $40,000 a year. Like that, if that's the level of impact or the scope of impact that you want to have to have some money. Like you're going to have some ambition, and you're going to have to do some kind of crazy things to get there. And so like, if you go off of like the 4% rule, if you want to live on $100,000 every year for the rest of your life, then you have to have $2.5 million invested in the bank. That's the rough math that you've got like a 97% chance of having that money every single year for the rest of your life. So if that's just the goal, well then, dude, why wait? Why try and do that, you know, between now and 65 when we can do it between now and 35, or we can do it between now and 30? Like if we can get there faster, well then, dude, we can spend more time and more energy and more of our life doing the other great things that we could do in our life and tackle these huge, huge goals. You know, like the two things don't have to be at odds. Your ambition and drive to make money and to produce and to create and build doesn't have to be at odds with humility and being grounded and down to earth and living a comfortable life, but one that isn't wasteful and like, you know, flaunting the wealth that you have.
Yeah. I can tell Kyle, I told Kaya the other day, like, I don't need to move out of this house. And I said that about my townhome. So, you know, we might look back on this and laugh, but I was like, this is perfect. This is what we need right now for our life, because it allows for like more kids down the road. Whereas our townhome, I just started to feel like, hey, this probably isn't going to house, you know, 5 kids, if that's how many we want to have, or 7. And you know, you could say, Austin, you know, you should have looked at what you saw in Chile with how many people lived in those. But I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to live like that though. Like I want to have a different standard of living where like we can have a full house and have room and have a backyard and all that stuff. So, but I think where we're at right now is perfect. And it's like, I got a bigger fishbowl than what we needed for right now, because I have a vision for what our family's going to look like down the road. But yes, like I think it's okay to have nice things and do all that, but and God is going to bless those. I still believe this. God blesses those who give, because he knows that if you're giving when you have little, then you'll be giving when you have a lot. And like in my patriarchal blessing, it says that I'll be blessed with the gift of prosperity. I'm like, cool. Because out of high school, I was like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to make money in life. And I'm like, cool, it's all working out. So I'm like, that's like been my, as long as I've worked hard, right?
Right.
But it's like, it's all going to work out. And it's exciting times ahead, man. I think you mentioned the other day, like when we go to Greece, it'll be cool to brainstorm.
Yeah.
We're going to be out there end of October. Dude, like we leave in like a month and about 2 months. We're out here to go to Greece. It'll be cool to brainstorm, and hopefully by then sold some solar accounts or, you know, gotten a consulting business rolling. Like between now and then, there's a lot of stuff that will happen. That's going to be really exciting.
There will be. I'm stoked. That's going to be a fun trip, man.
Dude, this is exciting. We saw it and we said, how cool would that be? And then we just said, well, let's do it.
And then, and then you said, well, hey, how about we, instead of just doing this for free, how about we pay in, you know, 50,000 burpees along the way, because why not?
I had to do something to earn this. My friend shouldn't be allowed to have it for free. You end up doing what, like?
I haven't looked at the counter, but I think we're pushing 30,000 right now. So.
You end up doing 166 more. No, I don't know. 300 times 7 is like 2,000. That's how many I did in a week. And then, so you're doing like 25 times more of the amount that I had to do. But it's all good. Hey. It's great.
It's all good. right, dude. Well, hey, we should probably wrap this up. Okay. I gotta go. But, dude, I'm really glad we got to talk. And there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and when we pack up for Greece, and we'll be able to record again in October. Yeah. But dude, we've got all of our stuff booked, so it's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to it, because you know, it's, I think it'll be a great time for us to start looking at what we want the next, not just next year to look like, but dude, like you're talking about, you know, another like 4 year, 3, 4, 5 year plan. And Marisha and I are looking at, well, we've got 2 years in Italy and then 3 or 4 years in probably Colorado Springs. Like, and then after that, maybe we stay in the military, but maybe we don't. And so now we got to think, okay, if we do get out, then there are some things that we want to start doing now, you know, before we get there. And if we don't get out, well, there are still things that we want to be doing between now and then anyway. And so I think it'll be a really cool time for us to kind of come together with some ideas formulated, and then to just have, you know, 5 or 6 days to just talk about them, you know? So yeah. I'm excited. Dude.
Love it. Well, we will see you guys for our next episode. Possibly get a guest on here this month. I'll talk to you about that here in a second.
Okay.
And please share this with a friend that you think might benefit. And we will see you guys next time.
All right. See you.